So if the first two questions of the Gemara had Holchei Usha, we're essentially sketching out the lamdasha parameters of what Cheskes Habatim looks like. Lefi Holchei Usha, if Cheskes Habatim is modeled after and derived from Cheskes Gimel Zimni by Shartam and Sharmuad, so Rashi Tosav and Yona, either it's a way of creating Muchzakus, or it's a way of actually making it his. Whether through Hodas Baldin or through instructions to make a kinyan or actually through Mechila. And then the third kasher, Rav Avira's kasher, Machar Shlo Befanav, was already accepting that there's a concept, but wondering, practically speaking, how could I learn it from Shor HaMu'ud? Shouldn't there be more evidence? If you're learning from Shor HaMu'ud, there should be more carryover. How about Shlo Befanav? We had a chance to see yesterday. Machlokes Rishonim, what the kasha is. Machlokes Rishonim, what the teretz is, and there's some correspondence. Okay. The Gemara works out either stam, that is a gzeiras hakasav, that's a unique gzeiras hakasav. But that you need ha'adah Befanav, it doesn't carry over. Or we understand the svar bedavar, as Rashi had put it, that while by Chazaka and Macha, all you need is one way conveyance of information. So Chavra Chavra Islay, Vachavra to Chavra Chavra Islay. If the Marakama makes a Macha, the Ilum schmoozes, the Ilum talks, and word gets around. And there, long before there was electronic social media, there was social media. There have always been media, mediums. There have always been media for socially spreading information. People throughout the millennia have figured out ways to spread information. And word gets around. Narva, says Rashi, that's sufficient with macha, because all you need for a macha to be valid is that it reaches the intended audience, the machazik, and he passively hears it. Maybe he'll even actively respond personally, internally, by making sure he has his rias in place. But he doesn't have to respond laterally to the mocha, to the marakama. But here, by the ha'adah, we want the bailin to not only hear it, be able to respond and push back against the one who is delivering it. Okay. So that was the third kasha. Now we come to the fourth and final kasha that is going to ultimately land. This fourth kasha is going to unlike the third kasha, like the third kasha, continue to press, okay, I understand the concept, but if we actually learn it from Shor HaMu'ud, it shouldn't look like this. And unlike the third kasha, which we repelled, ultimately we're not, but we have a teretz to the question Shlo Befanav, here this is actually gonna land. Let's take a look. And the Gemara, the fourth kasha, if you wanted to, you could technically say it's really fourth and fifth and things like that, a series of kashas, but they're all essentially just the Gemara refining the same basic question, which is timing. Yeah, there are different versions we've shown them. Let's take a look at the Gemara. Let's take a look at another detail of the dinim of Shor HaMu'ud. We already dealt with the detail of Shlo Befanav. Now let's deal with the following detail. We know that you have to have three negichos to make him a Shor HaMu'ud. The Pasuk describes in Parshas Mishpatim as 3 days. Mitmol Shel Shom. Yesterday and the day before. Esmol is yesterday. Mitmol Shel Shom is yesterday and Shel Shom 2 days ago. The third day back, counting today, is day number one. So Machlokas HaTanaim is that Davka or Lav Davka? So the Tanur of Yehuda says if you have three Negichos on one day, it only counts as one. The three negichos account as separate, distinct negichos that together create a Shor HaMu'ud. They have to be on separate, distinct days. That is the position of the Tana Rabbi Yehuda in Bava Kamma. Rabbi Meir disagrees. Rabbi Meir says, no. Richek negichos of Chayiv, kirv negichos of Koshkein. Rabbi Meir says, if when your negichos are far from each other, when you merachek them, when they're on three different days, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Nevertheless, they joined together to create this new status of Shor HaMuad. Rav Meir says, Kirav Nigi Chosav, if they were next to each other, back to back to back on the same day, Lo Kolshkin, Loki. He says, Rav Meir says, no, why are you demanding they be in separate days? No, he says, Adarabba. Adarabba, says Rav Meir. If they're on the same day, even better. Rav Yehuda says that the Pasuk said, Mitzmol Shalshom, the Dafka has to be separate days. They have to be distinct events of Negicha. For a mayor, they could all be in the same day. They're still distinct events in the Gichan. If anything, Adrabba, it's even more telling. A mayor says it happened different days, and maybe it's a fluke. Mamish, back to back to back. At 10 o'clock in the morning, your shower attacks a motorcycle. At 11 o'clock in the morning, your shower attacks a motorcycle. 12 o'clock in the morning, 12 noon, your shower attacks a motorcycle with a sidecar. Clearly, your shower has something for motorcycles. That's your mayor's argument, that there is no need. There is no need for them to be separate days. Derech Agav, these two patterns definitely both do exist in Halacha, particularly in the world of Tumah V'Tahara. For those who are those who have Chazar Taharos recently, the difference between a Zav and a Zava is whether you dafka need Rios, and you may have learned Seder Taharos recently, or you may have learned the Ein Bein Mishnayos. And New York, towards the end of the, or the middle, of the first parak of Megillah, so that's one of the differences between Zav and Zava, is whether you need dafka separate days of Re'ios or just separate events of Re'ios. So that's a model, it may not be the same lumdus, certainly a model for thinking, but both models exist, where we demand that the events happen on distinct days in order for them to count distinctly, and that's the Shita of Yehuda b'Shor HaMuad, and the mayor said, "Shor HaMuad, no, it could all happen the same day. Adarabba. It's a chiddush that Torah say that even if they didn't all happen the same day, we still say, oh, you have a pattern. If it happened all the same day, is avada. So that already gets me thinking about, now what Remeir is cutting out, we'll take questions soon, what Remeir is saying fundamentally, leaving aside the details, and it begins with how you read the Pasuk. When the Pasuk says three different days, is that Davka or is that even if it's three different days? But ultimately, what Meir is doing fundamentally is he's cutting out what element? He's cutting out the element of time. Exactly. He's cutting out the element of time. It doesn't really have to be, as with Zav versus Zava, it doesn't have to be at different times. I just need three events. So if that's the way you look at Shor HaMuad, as the Gimel Zimni of Shor HaMuad, that's really timeless, I really don't care about time. I don't need to extend. It doesn't help that it extends over more time. Adarabba, I would be even happier. It's even stronger if they're all compressed onto the same day. It's a chiddush that if they happen over three different days, they still are mitzarev to create the Shor HaMuad. So then, that's if you cut out, according to Rav Meir, who cut out the element of time, ach lo tosa peri v'chad yomam. Here we go. Some Rishonim have a different girsa, but this is the girsa that we have, and this is the girsa that that Tosus defends also in Dibas al Kagon. That the first version of this question is fig trees. The Gemara mentions in various places that figs, te'ena, so figs, the same tree, you have a single crop, but they don't all ripen at the same time. They ripen over time. Some of the fruits will be ready for picking, while others are not yet ready for picking, and you so often the way apparently at least with Kuvas HaTalmud, I don't know how fig harvests are done nowadays by fig farmers. I'm sure, you have a lot of information available online. The other day I was looking into with a chaver I learned the afternoon with in NYU. This year we're learning Hilchos Shabbos in afternoon seder, so we got into Karshinim, the big discussion in Mishnah Kuf Mem. In the sugis of Borer, about washing karshinim. Are you not allowed to wash off karshinim, or vegetable that are used for animal food? Vetches. What are vetches?
Vegetables aren't.
They're not used for human food, only for animal food. And so the Mishnah actually says you're not allowed to wash off the dirt on Shabbos. It's a Borer problem. I'm trying to figure out what that looks like. There's some achronim assume the same as you can't wash potatoes. Can't wash the dirt off of potatoes because it's a Borer problem. Moses, as Ramosha Feinstein says, Minhag Olam is not like that line in Mishnah Berurah. We assume it's fine. You have to explain what the difference is. So there are several differences. But one of them is if you actually look online at a picture of vetches, my mind always, the word vetch sounded like it's like a vetch. Like a kvetch, no? It sounded like a potato. But it turns out they're actually very beautiful, pretty green plants with gorgeous purple, delicate purple flowers. And what you discover, if you look online, whether on Wikipedia or you look at University of Georgia's extensive web and online information about 20, 30, 40 different varieties of vetches, there's a strong agriculture department at the University of Georgia. If you're looking into college options, you may want to consider that. Not as extensive as the dairy science department at University of Guelph. So when you start learning the sugis of Gevinas Akum, University of Guelph's website is invaluable in terms of understanding the stages of cheese making, but I digress. So you discover all of a sudden, you look at what a vetch actually is, they're beautiful, they're delicate, and they have loads of little stems and leaves, and it's not like a potato that has a smooth surface and the dirt is just stuck on the outside. If you have a dirty vetch, it means it's almost like broccoli. Like there are 1,000 crevices. The reason why it's so hard to check broccoli for bugs is because of all those crevices. So a dinami with the vetches. So we have to, you look online, I'm sure there are universities that have extensive discussions about fig harvest. You can look, Ayin Shom V'Tim Sanachas. But whatever it is, Lamasa, you don't, the Shem B'Tikuvah Satalmah, they didn't harvest a fig tree all at once. You had to come back to a fig tree multiple times to harvest, because on any given fig tree, there would be some figs that were already ripe. And as a matter of fact, it could even be if you leave them there too long, they're going to start to get ruined, while other figs on the same tree aren't yet ripe and aren't yet ready to be picked. So you have to harvest a single fig tree multiple times. The Gemara says sometimes even multiple times in a single day. It could be in the morning, you came after Vasikin, you came to your fig tree, 7 o'clock in the morning, 6 o'clock, 5 o'clock in the morning, in the summertime, Vasikin is early, and you harvested 20% of the figs. They were ready to roll, and the other 80% were unripe. You come back 2 o'clock in the afternoon, after lunch and early mincha, and now there's another 30% of the tree that's ready to be harvested. And then you come back later in the afternoon at 7 o'clock, and now you can harvest the rest of the tree. So the Gemara says, if you have a te'ena, if you have a fig tree, so you ocho tosa peira b'chad yoma. You're harvesting three different fruits on a single day. Kigon te'ena. Specifically, the Gemara says, not I could harvest three fruits from any tree in a single day. I could walk over to an apple tree, pick one apple in the morning, and pick one apple lunchtime, and pick a third apple supper time. But the Gemara specifies specifically the te'ena, where it needed to be that way. Keep that in mind for a moment. So Lamaisa, according to Meir, you can have all three negichos on a single day. So I can have all three achilos peros on a single day. So why do I need 3 years for? It could take 3 hours. B'chad yoma. So lehavi chazaka. So the Gemara says, no. Dum yud ashar amud. It has to be similar to ashar amud. Ma ashar amud. It's true that ashar amud, all three negichos happen the same day, but Ma shar mur be idna de is leha negicha, leisa leha negicha, hachanan be idna de is lehai peira, leisa lehai peira. By shar mur, it's true that the three negichas happened on a single day. But on the other hand, they weren't overlapping events. The negicha number one happened at 9 o'clock in the morning. It was over by 9:10. Negicha number two happened at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. It was over by 2:10. And negicha number three, assuming they all take 10 minutes, Negicha number three happens at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, is over at 5:10. There's no overlap. Negicha number two hadn't even begun when Negicha number one was over. So the Gemara says that's not the case by Te'ena. Now you already see where the Gemara is going with this, and you see why the Gemara wants to talk about Te'ena, because an apple tree, all the apples are ripened apparently about around the same time. So the fact that I chose to pick one apple in the morning, one apple in the afternoon, one apple in the evening, that's for sure not separate events of Achilas Peros. Because why? Because I chose to. It's clearly what? It's clearly one crop. It's clearly one harvest. I just started and stopped and started and stopped. The Gemara's Havamina, though, well, by the Teina, I couldn't have done the fruit number two in the morning. It wasn't ready yet. To which the Gemara's responding, well, it wasn't ready, but it was there. That's not enough. You're on to something, but that's not enough. And I think Gemara is going to refine. Then we'll take a question. Let's see the way the Gemara refines this. And Tosis helps us understand what's different about version number two. The Gemara now talks about the tzlaf. It says, how about a tzlaf? What's a tzlaf? So for those who enjoy Italian cuisine, a tzlaf is a caper bush. I'm not sure how much that's a part of French cuisine, but tzlaf is a caper bush. If you enjoy Italian cuisine, you might be familiar with the caper berries, the teeny tiny caper berries that come in the narrow jars. If you're familiar with Maseches Brachos, specifically Perakes Mevarchin, so you may remember that tzlaf is unique for having four different edible parts, two of which appear to be Bar Pi Ha'etz, and another two of which appear to be a Bar Pi Ha'adama. If you're familiar with Megillas Koheles, you may recall that Megillas Koheles climaxes, with a very, very involved mashal for human existence, and specifically the process of aging. And the psukim that mentioned the aviona, the sefer ha'aviona. And aviona appears in Ketz Mevarchin as one of the fruits of the caper bush. So tzlaf has many different edible parts. The tzlaf has many different edible parts, and specifically, those caper berries are tiny. So the Gemara says, okay, so maybe the te'ena is not going to work, but how about the tzlaf? How about the tzlaf?
Because it has different parts.
Oh, good question. Kagon tzlaf, Tlosa peri betlosa yome, that's argir, so. Tlosa peri betlosa zeh, three fruit in 3 days. Or, the Masar Sashas tells you, the Gir Zarech was still three fruits on 1 day. Either betlosa yom chadya, but by tzlaf, why doesn't that work? Why doesn't that work? So why is that any more of a kasha than te'ena? So as you said, some Rishonim say, well, let's take a look at Tosis. See, Tosis dumasl could go in tzlaf. So Tosas is kidarko, not always kidarko, but as they do sometimes, they start b'miyashiv the kasha without explicitly asking it. There is no v'im tomer v'yei shlomer. We just jump into the teretz. Baso d'shani le mite'ena parach mitzlaf. After we answered the kasha on te'ena, we then ask the kasha from the tzlaf, or as the Bach highlights, afagav d'shani le mite'ena. Even though we already gave a teretz by te'ena, that the fruit was already there, we're still asking the kasha from tzlaf. Why? The te'ena gedola hi b'shar shenotun chavrta min ha'ilan. The te'ena, it's already large when the unripe fruit that are not ready to be picked at 8 o'clock in the morning are still full size. They're just not the right color yet. They're not soft enough yet. They're not sweet enough yet. But they've already reached full size. It's a tree full of, that looks like a tree full of figs. If you look carefully, 80% of them aren't yet ready for picking. El shol nisbashla adayin. It's not yet nisbashla. Nisbashla does not mean cooked, obviously. If you learn Masechet Mishnayos Zeraim, you discover that bishol is also used to mean the ripening of a fruit on a tree. Well, nisbashla adayin. They're full size, they're just not ripe. About salaf. Katana priharbe kishenotana achas. The other fruits are tiny. They're tiny. That's what the Gemara goes on to say. The Gemara's answer to the tzlaf is hasam peira miha ise. The fruit is there. Miha, however. The fruit is, however, there. Migmu de kagamar va'azel. It just needs to ripen more. It just needs to be completed. That's what Tosas is wondering. I don't understand. That's the exact same teretz you gave for Te'ena. So didn't you know that teretz already? To which Tosas is answering, no. By Te'ena,
it's not ripe, but it has full size. Here, migmur de kagamra doesn't just mean it needs to ripen, it means it needs to expand. So that's one approach. And then he quotes Rabbeinu Chananel, who says, he has the girsa tolosa peri b'chad yoma. It's hard to imagine, Tosis says, that over the course of a single day, the fruits are changing size so much. I mean, over the course of 3 days, I understand. Over the course of a single day? So what do you do according to the girsa bach? He goes, salaf sheishlo shalosha peros b'yachad. As three different fruits at the same time. What do you mean three different fruits at the same time? A teina has 100 fruits on the tree at the same time. No, but now you know the answer. Someone said before. Because not just three different specimens, three different types of fruit. They're different edible parts. So that's what the Gemara was saying. You have a tzlaf bush, so you have the terms. You have the avionos, and you have the kafrisin, and then you have some other parts. So they're all growing from the same plant. They're all growing from kishem, just the lasaberes haozen. There's more than one thing that we harvest from the Jews, anyhow, harvest from date trees. What are two things that we harvest from date trees? Dates and lulavim, right? There are two different parts we're interested in, both of them. We're interested in the fruits, and we're interested in one particular type of the leaves or the stems. So who had the nami on a tzlaf? There are four different parts, all of which are edible. The lulavim of date palms aren't edible. We're interested in them for the mitzvah. But this lesaberes haozen, that's what a tzlaf is like. So Tosa says, that's what it's, either we thought the tzlaf maybe would have been a better argument because the fruits aren't even, the unripe fruits aren't even full size. So maybe that's mamish, like something new when I finally pick them. Or because they're different types of items. And the Gemara says, no, it's all still there. Maybe it's smaller, maybe it's a different part of the plant, but they're all still there. They're all still there, and therefore, they're not like three negichos of Rabbi Meir, which are three independent events. But now the Gemara is going to continue to, okay, so I fundamentally have a kasha by Teina. Fundamentally have a kasha by Tzlaf. Okay, she said, that's not good enough. So could we find some other scenario where they will be distinct over a very short period of time? Now the Gemara says, let's talk about grass. Grass and animals are grazing. Aspasta. The Gemara says, how about aspasta? Achla tlosa peri tlosa yome. So now we move from three fruits in a day, and according to our girsa, tzlaf was three fruits in 3 days, to now three fruits in 30 days, which is longer, but still way shorter than 3 years. 3 years is 37 times, or 38 times 30 days. 1 month. Over the course of 1 month, I could get my cheskes habatim gimel shanim. How? Because the animals are munching a grass. Achot tlosa peri, betlosa yomen. Over the course of 30 days, how would that become aspasta? The animals munch on the grass, and then it keeps growing. They munch again, and it keeps growing. Lehevi chazaka. Let that be a chazaka. Why is it any better than the te'ina or the tzlaf? Why is this a stronger kasha? But it's already there.
You grow it all
in the air. Right. It's actually not there. Because the grass, you munch down to the bottom, even if the roots remain, but the edible part is gone, and then you grow a new edible part. That would be ke'ilu I picked. If I were to pick a te'ena off a tree, and then a few hours later, there's another fruit from the same stem, that would mamish be a new pera. That doesn't happen on trees. But it does happen with grass. The animal comes and munches. Even if, either you think that the roots are gone, even if the roots remain, but there's going to be a new edible stalk that's going to pop up, apparently, 10 days later, 15 days later. Over the course of a month, over the course of 30 days, I'm going to get in three rounds of grass munching. So the Gemara says, well, we're still not done.
Wait, how is that an answer?
No, that's the kasha. Oh. Why not lehavi chazaka? Let that be a chazaka.
So the Gemara says, "Hey Chidami, how do you have three rounds of grazing up from the same patch of land over the three rounds of grazing in 30 days?" Again, you and I are not farmers. Apparently, three rounds of grazing in 30 days. The only way you could have that, the kadiach viachla, kadiach viachla. It's being kodeach. Rashi says, godel kitsas. It grew a little bit. You don't get full height grass in 10 days. If the animals are munching every 10 days, that means it's growing a little bit. And l'may nafkamina, l'may nafkamina. Okay, so it's only growing a little bit. Mishmishu de kasham viachla. That means that the animal is just grabbing before it really grew. Rashi says, and therefore what? Ben Yonah says, "Hey chidami, if you're allowing, typically a farmer or a shepherd wouldn't allow his animals to graze there again so soon. He would let the grass grow more." That's what he says. Ein ze ocha b'chol pam achila shleima, kevin she'ein tolish kol eitzel shegoz es miksaso. Trimming down whatever grew. So either it's that he's not getting a full achila. Inami kederach hagazlanim yored. Kevin she'en maniach le'esav she'igdal. This doesn't look like you're an owner. This looks like a gazlan. If you're moving your animals in before you even had a chance to grow, where else in halacha do you have to have a reference, a historical or cultural reference, to the fact that ganavim are in a rush and therefore don't allow certain processes to complete?
Meat.
What? Yeah. Because partially cooked is cold. Machal ben Drusai. Who was ben Drusai? Ben Drusai was a ganav. Chayvan lo rosh and rabo. Ben Drusai was a gangster. He was a gangster. He was a ganav. He was always on the one step. He was always a fugitive from justice. He was always trying to stay one step ahead of the cops. So he didn't have a chance to relax and make himself a fully cooked meal. He took a slab of meat, threw it on the coals. As soon as it was half cooked, the third cook, he'll gobble it down and then get back on the run again. Machal ben Drusai. That's what Rabbi Yonah understands. Is also, you're having your animals eat the grass when it's only half or a third, mamash the same shiurim, half or a third grown. That's kedar hagazlanim. This is ben Drusai style. Machal ben Drusai does count as an act of bishul, but if you're looking to act kedar habaylim, we're going to see over the next number of blocks, Inshi is a recurring theme. The achilas peros to qualify as a proper cheskes abatim needs to be the way owners usually live in their land. As he says, this is not the way owners live in their land. If this is your own land, so you give the grass another few days to grow fully, you're acting like a goslin. So that's not going to help at all. Then the Gemara says, for the final version, the fourth version of the fourth kasha, the fourth version of the fourth kasha is, I know a few guys have been waiting for questions. Okay, so let's say you let the grass grow fully. Okay, we'll add a little extra time. Not that we're trying to get in three rounds of achilas grass in 1 month, in 30 days, but let's get three rounds of achilas grass in 3 months. 1 month, 1 month per round. B'klasa yarchin, three yarchim, in 3 months. Kegon aspasta, going back to the grass, but now we're giving it time. Apparently a month is sufficient time for the grass to grow fully. V'havi chazaka, let that be a chazaka. And that, the Gemara thinks, is a very strong kasha. So again, as you see, in theory, we just went through, if you want to be technical, say, well, that was kasha 4, kasha 5, kasha 6, kasha 7. But they're all just, it's really not, that's really all kasha 4. 4a, was a te'ena, and 4b was tzalaf, and 4c was grass in 10 days per round, and d was grass in 30 days per round. At that point, the Gemara says, now you finally have a really good kasha. You worked out all the kinks, and now you finally refined your kasha. That's taka, a solid question. That's taka, a solid question. That's taka, a solid question. And just to appreciate the kasha, one more line, and then when we wrap up the kasha before you see the tarots, we'll be ready to take questions on them. Some guys have been waiting very patiently. Everyone's waiting patiently. Some people have been waiting patiently for a long time, I should say. Some people's patience has been more nika. But let's just try to bring this together a little bit.
we just to appreciate the kasha, we already saw in Tosfos, and I think Rabbi Yonah will bring it out some more. We already saw in Tosfos, and thinking about, you know, the evolution of this kasha from Te'ena to Tzlaf is as the Gemara said, right? As the Tosfos understood in the Gemara, Te'ena wasn't such a good kasha because the fruits are already there, it just isn't ready to be picked yet. But by the Tzlaf, we usually thought the fruit is not even full size, so therefore this would be separate. I said, no, it's not full size, but it's still on the tree. But the grass taka isn't there at all. What are we driving at? And therefore, what is it we're trying to say? It is there, it's not there, not overlapping. Again, the Gemara's initial teretz, which is what we keep working with, is, well, by the negichos, negicha number two does not overlap with negicha number one at all. And negicha number two only starts after negicha number one is over. So yes, it's happened over the course of one day, according to Rebbe Meir. Yes, Rebbe Meir is playing at the element of time in terms of shiurim of time, but he does still want the three negichos to be at three different times, non-overlapping. They don't overlap in time. Meaning. So what does that mean? So I think Rebbe Yonah captures it very elegantly. The very top of page Kuf. The bottom of Kuf Yud Aleph, the top of Kuf Yud Beis. The previous Dira Maskel, he talks about the Girsa question, does Salaf come first in the Gemara, does Tana come first in the Gemara? Okay, as we mentioned, we were working with Tosis is working with our Girsa, that Salaf is first, Tana second. But let's take a look at the next Rabbeinu Yonah. Achla Tlasa Peri, but Tlasa Yomen, the very bottom of page Kuf Yud Aleph. Like Aspasta. But this was version three of the kasha. They get three rounds of grazing in a single month. But who ate the hay? The person tells you we're talking about grass, and then he says, "Ah, he says, why are we asking about grass? Who asks about grass? Grass.
It's always greener on the other side.
It is always greener on the other side. But the grass is only animal food. Why don't we ask about vegetables that people eat too? Why do we have to ask the grass? How's the low kasha? I'm labin kuf with low kasha." The fact that Gemara was not bothered by Bedavar Sha'osa Peros Tadir, like Beis HaShlachin, but the Mishnah had mentioned already on Amud Aleph that the Mishnah had reminded us, as Mishnah reminds a number of Mesechtos, that even the Tekuvah Satama, there are two different ways to run your field. You cannot grow things without water. So how do you get water? How is water delivered to your field? So it could be a stay Beis Habal. Or it could be a stay based hashlachin. And the difference is that stay based habal means there's enough rain in this area to provide water. There's no artificial irrigation. It just lives naturally off of the rainwater. But if you live naturally off the rainwater, you can be very seasonal. You're totally in the rain, especially in Eretz Yisrael. The rain only, it doesn't rain all summer. It's bizarre for it to rain between Pesach and Sukkot. It's very, very strange. People leave that stuff in the backyard in Eretz Yisrael or on the Mer Peset for months and months and months because you know it's not going to rain in a way that we would never do in this part of the United States because precipitation comes and goes around here throughout the year. So in Eretz Yisrael in particular, if it's a state-based habal, if you have enough rain to run your farm, that also means you're going to be very seasonally dependent and you can only farm with the rain cycle. Our Mishnah Chav Chesamal points out if it's a Beis Hashlochen, if you have artificial irrigation, you have a canal system that brings water in, or Bizman Azeh, as you've walked around Eretz Yisrael, you've no doubt seen the very clever ways in which they set up hoses. They close the end and then they prick holes in the hoses and they run water hoses down and they're constantly giving a little bit of water in different spots. Right, so that's the modern version of Sedei Beis HaShlachin. Or if you walk around your suburban neighborhood and you see that some people have watering systems, they don't actually farm edible plants, but we all farm grass. So people have watering systems so the grass can grow all year long. Right? So Sedei Beis HaShlachin with a watering system. So Sedei Beis HaShlachin. The Mishnah already indicated you could really be growing things throughout the year, or throughout much of the year, because you can, even when it's not raining, you can just turn on the artificial rain. Fill the canal, turn on the hose, shine. So Rabbi Yonah says, 1 second. So we know that. That's in the Mishnah. The Mishnah talks about stay based on shlachim. So why does the Gemara have to find a case? It's your kasha from Aspasta. We're talking about it took us so long to find this kasha. The tzlaf and the teina, or the teina and the tzlaf, and Aspasta version 1, Aspasta version 2. And finally, Aspasta version 2, where you're giving it a full 30 days per round, that's the good kasha. The Mishnah says, stay based on shlachim. And that's human food. Why not talk about that? I'm growing carrots. I'm growing potatoes on my farm. And because I have a watering system, I can just keep running rounds of potatoes. I don't know, I'm farming tulips, whatever. And it's a stay based on shlachim. You can just keep going. Well, what are we hocking with a spasta for? The tzlaf and the te'ina, as though we're looking around in Mechak Tavi Lachmag. Let me see if I can find some scenario where you're doing multiple rounds of farming back to back. The Mishnah says, stay based on shlachim. It says, why didn't the Gemara ask for based on shlachim? I'm dramatizing a little bit, but you have to appreciate that when he just sort of casually says, the fact that the Gemara didn't ask for based on shlachim, that's a really good kasha. It's Achilas Adam. It's in the Mishnah, and the Gemara worked so hard to find that spot. What are you working so hard for? It's a Mishnah. He says, no. Why didn't we ask based on shlachim? He says, no. Why didn't we ask what? Lehevi chazaka begimel mini yirakat afi b'chad yarcha. That would be a perfect example of how I pick my carrots. I'm not enough of a farmer to know which vegetables grow so quickly, but let's imagine the carrots work. If it's the same as our shachar, it's picking carrots and planting again, and picking carrots and planting again. Why do we say that? Cave into ain. So it says, well, why not? And it almost looks as though the kasha continues to the next clause. Cave into ain, peirosa, poskin. The fruits or the vegetables never stop. So just pick and pick and pick and pick. Right? Why do we ask from that? But the truth is that line actually is part of the teretz. Everybody knows teretz is. Cave into ain, peirosa, poskin. Since it never stops. Kol shata l'chada achila chashvelu inshi. People, here's a fascinating idea. People consider a shata. Shata is Aramaic for shana. People consider the year to be a single achila. Ein derech l'haskir beis hashlochin l'fachos mishanat. It's not done to rent out beis hashlochin for less than a year. Fascinating. What's he say? Well, who cares how people rent it out? Who cares what people think? Hilkach gimel shanim le'in chazaka did who he gimel nagiches in chazaka b'shar hamud. What's the main Yonah saying? Since it's non-stop, I'm just cycling through. I'm constantly picking and picking and planting because I have a vegetable farm that's a beis hashlachin. Right, it's one unit. There's no season. So Memela, the default season is going to be a year. The default unit on a farm is going to be a year, unless there are distinct seasons. That's why we weren't bothered that you need 3 units of a vegetable farm, a beis hashlachim vegetable farm, it's going to be 3 years. Of course, because there is no other way to cut it. And therefore, there's no natural agricultural way to cut it, because agriculture just apparently keeps going endlessly. Maybe you stop once a year during the winter or something. So the only real way to call the end of the season is a year at a time. And that's why it was relevant to talk about how people rent it out. That's a demonstration. The fact that agriculturally you just keep going, ain peiros poskin, is the reason why there's no smaller unit. And raya that there's no smaller unit is that in the market for renting vegetable farms, I don't want to invest in land, but I want to farm for a year or two, whatever. I want to do a little bit of farming. I want to rent a vegetable farm. The market for vegetable farms, you rent it in years. Car leases, you could sometimes lease a car for a day or two, or you could take a long-term lease. But Lemaisen, right, how bizman hazes, tons of people will rent a vacation home for a day or two or a week. Right? But a normal residence that's not a vacation home, people don't rent it for 2 days. Airbnb has allowed people to live places for a couple months at a time and then move on. Traditionally, people usually rented a residence for a year at a time. That's the season. Who would deny on a vegetable farm? Because in Peirosa Poskin, the way people think of the only unit is a year. And that was really the Gemara's point, Neirosh. The Negichos, yes, they happen on one day. Yes, they happen on one day. But they're clearly distinct events. Negicha number one and Negicha number two, the Negicha of the motorcycle and the Negicha of the cat and the Negicha of the Echves, tractor trailer, whatever the shower is attacking, there were three distinct events that happened at separate times with their own starts and ends, and there was time in between. So that's what we're looking for, three distinct events. So what Rabbi Yonah is really telling us is we're looking for three distinct seasons. Three pickings. So first thing, though, we can have a picking of this day and a picking of that. Of course, if the apple tree is full of apples, but I chose to only pick three apples in the morning for breakfast, and I come back, three apples in the afternoon for lunch, and then another five apples for supper, of course that's one big picking. We thought maybe if the fruits aren't yet ripe, or maybe the fruits aren't there at all, and ultimately get to the grass. But if it just keeps going and going endlessly, and there's always more carrots in the farm to pick, that's of course one single unit. It's one season. We're really looking for it's three separate seasons. With the grass, I could call it three separate seasons because it grew, we picked it, and then it grew again, and we picked it, and it grew again, and we picked it. Mashal Mahad Vardome, because we're not farmers, this is all a little bit abstract for us. But maybe Mashal Mahad Vardome, the Mishnah already raised the issue that some farmers are seasonal, you're not using it all year long, right? So maybe you get a little bit less than 3 years. Now the Gemara is raising the question, if I could have three seasons over the course of 3 months, three seasons over the course of a year. So Mashal Mahad Vardome, what's an example that we're familiar with of seasonal property? Like farms are seasonal, you don't use them all year long, usually. But here's another example of seasonal property. A stadium. A ball field. Right? So if you have a football stadium, so you only use it during football season. So some of them get multi, right? Or you have ski slopes. So traditionally, ski slopes you use during the winter, and then when the snow, right? And any if you're on the email list of a ski slope, so they're already telling you in the end of the summer, now is the time to get your early bird season passes. And their marketing department, the market department never stops, but the slopes do stop. And there's an opening, and they'll tell you, our season opens on this day. Maybe it's weather dependent. Our season closes on this day. Now, some ski mountains have figured out that they could multi-purpose themselves, and during the summertime, they could use the ski slopes for the lifts for mountain biking and climbing and hiking and festivals. They figure out ways to earn some money during the off-season. Sometimes you'll have a stadium that's only used for one sport. And sometimes you have a stadium that gets used for football during football season and baseball during baseball season. Yes, and Lahavdil Simashas during Simashas season. So Yitachin. Yitachin that if I use this stadium for both my Miami baseball team and my Miami football team, so that might be two distinct achilos peros in 1 year, because those were two separate seasons. And in fact, that's what the Gemara answers. You're right. You're making a good point. The limud from Shor HaMuad ought to lead us to the conclusion that's not really about 3 years. It's really about three seasons. Usually, the season on a farm is a year. Like Rabbi Yonah said, the default season on a farm is a year for obvious reasons, because farming is natural and it relates to the cycle of the sun and the seasons. So usually farming is on an annual cycle. But the Gemara says, you're right, in a scenario where I could identify three distinct seasons over the course of a single year in a harami, that would be enough to have a cheskes abatim in much less than 3 years. And the Gemara says, exactly, and that was the shita Man holcheush, the Gemara answers, Rabbi Ishmael. Holcheush, who says? Who was the one who said that the mysterious holcheush? Who was it who was going? Many Tanam went to Usha, but who was the one that Rabbi Yochanan was quoting? Who said we learned from Shamud? It was Rabbi Ishmael. And in a Hanami, it's Rabbi Ishmael Hachinami. That indeed is Rabbi Ishmael Shita. So this is not our Mishnah. Rabbi Ishmael Omer, but Mezma Amur B'Stei Lavan. Rabbi Ishmael said this whole business of 3 years, that's only if you have a single purpose field. If you only use the stadium for football, so it could take 3 years to have a Cheskas Abatim, that you own the stadium. Because you need 3 full seasons of football. But if this stadium is used for 3 different sports, or as Rabbi Shmuel says, the Steilon, if I have an orchard that and not a single species orchard, we only have cherry trees, not the Japanese cherry orchard. No, I have a mixed species orchard. This is the Mishnah of Chavchas Rav. The Gemara is quoting the Bible of Chavchas Rav. Kana says Tvuasa, Masak is Zesav, Kana says Kaitso. I, as Rashi said in the Mishnah, Kana says Tvuasa, Tvuasa doesn't mean grain, it means you gathered in the grape harvest. And then you harvested Masak, Mem Samach Kuf is the Shoresh that's used instead of Katsar. It's specifically harvesting olives. It's called Mesika. And then Kana says Kaitza, then you harvested your figs over the course of one spring and summer. The different species ripen at different times. So first I harvested the grapes. And then later in the season I harvest the olives. And then at the end of the season I harvest and dry my figs. So the Tanya Rabbi Shmuel says in the Mishnah, Hare Elu Gimel Shana, that counts as 3 years. It's not 3 years. It's half a year. Over the course of half a year, I got 3 years. And what do we mean? Now we understand. In a Chanami, that's Rabbi Shmuel, who says that's not really about time. It's really about cycles. I need 3 seasons. Usually 3 seasons is 3 years. But in a Chanami, if I'm learning from Sharamud, it's not really about the time at all. So that's where the Gemara lands. And that's what the Gemara says, but we don't possibly like Rabbi Shmuel. How about all the other Tanaim who say that B'stei Ilan, you'd still need 3 years? So they're clearly decoupling and disconnecting Gimel Shanim from Gimel season. It's not about seasons, it's actually about time. So that already becomes a problem. That already becomes a problem, and now we have to figure out where the other Tanaim learn Cheskas Abatim from. It's not going to simply be from this is, as I said before, the third kasha we were attempting to see if we could force in other pratim of Sharmud. We said no, the Shlal B'Fanav, it didn't stick. But here the point is Sharmud, for Sharmud ultimately is not about time. Ultimately it's just about events. There is no true correspondence between Gimel Shanim and Gimel Negichos. Gimel Shanim is often the way 3 seasons will end up being 3 years. Whether it's agricultural or even for a rental, Rabbeinu already told us that oftentimes when it's Ein Peros HaPoskin, certainly for residents to live in a house, that's for sure Ein Peros HaPoskin. So then the default unit is a year. And after all, Rabbeinu Yonah had said to us, right? How do you rent out a house? Usually by the year. Whether it's because people go away for the summer, or whether it's around in an academic neighborhood, things have to do with the academic year, or stop with it. That's the way people rent houses. People usually rent houses anywhere by the year is the most common unit. So that becomes the default unit. But fundamentally, if you learn from Shor Amud, it's not really that Gimel Shanim corresponds to Gimel Negichas. Negichas aren't units of time. Negichas are events. So fundamentally, we want 3 events of Chazakah. So sometimes the unit of an event is a year, but sometimes it's not. So if you actually are going to be a stickler for the time, maybe you'll shave it down a little bit, but fundamentally you want 3 years. Unlike Rabbi Shmuel, who said, I could get it in my 3 separate harvests, you know, baseball, football, and basketball in 1 year, he said, I could get in the grape harvest and the olive harvest and the fig harvest in 1 year. And that's good. That's Taka. He really cares about the events. He really cares about the cycles. He doesn't really care about time. That's Rabbi Shmuel. The Gemara is saying there's a fundamental machlokas between Rabbi Shmuel and the other Tanaim. Is it really about time, or is it really just about events and cycles and seasons? So if it's about events and cycles and seasons, that would derive naturally from Shara Mu'ad. But if it really is about time, then Shara Mu'ad cannot be your source, and the Gemara is going to now move on to, over the course of the very bottom of Chav Chesed and Beis, going on to Daf Chav Tes, to figure out what else could Cheska Batim be based on. Clearly, the non-Rabbi Shmuel Tanam do not base it on Cheska Sabatim. It was a good try. It was more than just a try. Itaki is Hezbin Rabbi Shmuel, but it's not Hezbin the other Tanam. So the other Tanam are going to have to have some other Savar that actually relates to time. That's not about the Gimel Zimni, not about the three rounds, the three events, and the pattern that draws from that, but actually about the time. Now, other people are waiting very patiently, particularly Meir. Yeah.
I don't understand the premise of the question from the mayor. I don't understand. He says that the best situation for becoming a mu'ad would be pouring three times on the day. But he still believes that the Lord has many times in days. So why do we need to explain that? And also, I don't understand how the answer is answering the question. I don't understand how when we answer, 3 months, or whatever amount, like for the last option we have for 3 months, how does that answer the question of the mayor? Because the mayor said, what?
Correct. Very good point. You want to know, so let's go back to basics, and let's unpack even more what we were saying, before. Rabbi Meir, that's why we introduced Rabbi Meir before, it's not just that specifically, technically, Rabbi Meir says it can happen in one day. So you say, so it can happen one day here too. That's true, and the first kasha is indeed about one day. But as you see pretty quickly, we move either in slough to 3 days, according to some girsos, and so once you get to haspasta, you don't graze grass three times in one day. And we're not talking about it. We're talking about it over a month or 3 months. But the point of when saying Ula Rabbi Meir, and the point of Ula Rabbi Meir was probably more fundamentally, it's not about time. He removes the element of time. for Rabbi Yehuda, there is a time element in Shar Mu'ad. It needs to be over three separate distinct days. So that already sounds like this sort of idea that I need three separate units of time. But for Rabbi Meir, when the Mishnah says three different days, that's a chiddush. Even if it's three different days, it's still a Shar Mu'ad. But the Kirv Nikichos of Lokalshke, I certainly don't require that it be three different days. If anything, Adarabba, if it's all the same day, it's even more of a svar to say it's a Shar Mu'ad. So Ibn Azari, Rabbi Meir fundamentally is not just saying it could be in one day. Fundamentally, he's saying that it's not really about time. It's just about Nikichos. He said, then how about here? And ultimately, the Gemara sustains that. We just need to find a case that fits well. But once we could find a case where over a relatively short period of time, there are three separate achilos peros, three distinct rounds of harvest, so then we don't care however short, the only limiting factor is agricultural metzias. You need enough time to be able to harvest them separately and for them to be seen as distinct. But in a chanami, over the course of 3 months, they do three rounds of grazing, according to Rabbi Shmuel, that you have a 3 month, over the course of 3 months, you establish a valid cheskas hakos. Or as Rabbi Shmuel said, beferish in the Mishnah, over the course of probably 5-6 months, I'm not sure exactly, you get in first a grape harvest, and then a separate and distinct olive harvest, and then a separate and distinct fig harvest and drying, and over the course of half a year, in a chanami, you got it in. That was the kasha. So much so, by the way, that the Gemara even asks, you can even wonder, and Tosis Chav Tes sort of raises this, is not exactly, and have a coin to your mayor, have a coin to your Yehuda. We said, L'Rabbanan Mai, the Gemara's next line is, the Rabbanan who argue with Shmuel, who actually demand more time, so what are they saying?
So where do they get it from? So why not say Tosfos are based on Gaza? Maybe they're also based on Sharm Wood. They're also based on Sharm Wood. But you need, but according to Rabbi Yehuda, you need 3 days. So ultimately, the answer to that, Tosfos doesn't exactly ask the kasha that way, but they're at least angling in that direction. The answer is, Rabbi Meir is the sharpest. In other words, just to rephrase again, the in Tomar, why do we have to reject Shor HaMuad L'Rabbanon? That's the next movement in the Gemara. Well, what the Rabbanon said, you don't look at Bishmal, so then you're not using Shor HaMuad. Why not? After all, we started the kasha based asking for a mayor. Okay, so maybe the Rabbanon hold like Rabbi Yehuda. Al-Gavaldik. So what's the answer? So the answer is, 3 days don't exactly equal 3 years. I mean, the reason why we mentioned Rabbi Meir is because that's the sharpest expression of the fact that you actually need, the time is irrelevant. Rabbi Meir clearly says it's not about a shear of time. But even according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's definitely not about a shear of 3 years. The 3 days make the three negichos distinct. But Mehecha Tesi, that 3 days become 3 years. You want to tell me I have to have 3 days? The first kasha, I think that's the way somebody showed him to say it. The first kasha of specifically the Te'ena, where it's on 1 day, okay, maybe I would say Rabbi Yehuda says it has to be 3 days. But once we move past that, we're talking about 3 months or 6 months, Rebbeir is a sharper, more obvious, more manifest expression of the fact that it's not about time. But Manavshach, if you think Rabbi Yehuda is about time, which is debatable, then it's about a time of 3 days. Or, Rabbi Yehuda also doesn't really think it's about time, he just wants the negichos to be three distinct negichos. And he thinks the two negichos in 1 day are not distinct. Kemo like by Zava, multiple rios in a single day, just counts as one ria. Okay, but the Mehecha Tasty, therefore all of a sudden you jump to a year. I mean, in a Hanami, as Rabbi Yonah said, even Rabbi Shmuel would agree that if Ein Peros HaPoskin, sometimes the year becomes the unit of time that makes a distinct season. But fundamentally, if I have another way of making the season distinct, I don't need the year. The Chachamim, that is the Shita Rabbi Shmuel. That for a residence, Rabbi Shmuel agrees you need 3 years, but for a mixed species fruit orchard, he says it's enough to have just 3 harvests over the course of half a year. So if you're going to reject that, as the Chachamim do, and you say, no, it's mamish about 3 years or close to 3 years. Again, earlier in the mission we had said maybe you could trim off a little bit for the 3 years because part of the year agriculture is off-season. Okay, so that would be like saying, if I have a football stadium, I have a baseball stadium, so since the season is only echveis from March or April, depending whether you're in Florida or further north, March or April until September, October, depending whether you make it, how good your team is, right? So, but Lamaisa, from November to February, no one's using it. No one's using the stadium unless they're doing other stuff in the stadium. So I would say I need 3 years, or maybe I can start the first year in March or April, and end the third year 2.5 years later in September, October. That was the middle of our Mishnah. That you need 3 years. Maybe I could trim off a little bit, but basically you really need 3 years. Look over. Once you say you need mamish 3 years miyom liyom, or even if you'll tell me I could drop a few days here and there, but basically I need 3 years. So even Rabbi Yehuda doesn't really correspond to that because mimanavshach. Either Rabbi Yehuda fundamentally conceptually gives Rabbi Meir that's not really about time; it's really about 3 distinct events. Nor for us, the 3 days make the events more distinct. So, okay, that's all Rabbi Shmuel talk. Or you'll tell me no. Maybe Yehuda Mamish holds fundamentally it's about time, but the shear of the time is 3 days. So Mehecha Tesa, 3 days becomes 3 years. So Miman of Shach, we started the Kasher of Meir either because we daf going to ask from 1 day, or because the Meir is the sharpest way of expressing that Shor HaMuad is not about time, it's about events. But either way, once you get to the end, we're not asking from Te'ena Biyom B'chad Yoma, we're asking from Aspasta over the course of 3 months. The kasha is true regardless of which sheet of Shor HaMuad you have, regardless of whether you hold the Shor HaMuad works like Reb Meir or Reb Yehuda, either neither version of Shor HaMuad is going to generate Shitas Chachamim. Both versions of Shor HaMuad will at most generate the Shita of Rabbi Shmuel, which is why the Gemara correctly asked, or Rabbanan Mai, what the Chacham going to do? It's not Shor HaMuad, so it must be. We'll get to that next one.
Right. It's not fundamentally about time. Time ends up practically being relevant because seasons have length. Again, as Rabbi Yonah said, particularly when things sort of flow, when things don't have natural, obvious seasons, and then sometimes the year becomes a proxy for a season, because that the Lashon B'nei Adam, or in commercial custom, the way people usually rent out the houses or farms might be by the year. But fundamentally, the year is just a chitimsa, it's a proxy for a season. It's really all about the events of the season. Yeah. Yonah.
By Karko, you have two more Shonim, but you don't have three different, seasons. Would that, are we not saying that that's all that matters, just the two more Shonim? Or do you still need the...
Right, that's what I said. Exactly. What the Gemara just said, this is where we end. This is where the Hal Kedusha, either the first Sugya, as I mentioned in Google Classroom the day, either the first Sugya or the beginning of the first Sugya, the first segment of the Sugya. Because the Gemara, the opening Kash of the Gemara, you remember, was where did the Chesed Zabatim Gibel Shana come from? At the very least, where did the Gibel Shana part come from? So the first theory was, is based on the three of Shor HaMuad. And the way this ends, now at the bottom of the blog, is, according to, if you hold on to your Bishmah by Chesed Zabatim, so then the basis for Chesed Zabatim is Shor HaMuad. But if you disagree with Bishmah, the other Tanan, who say it's not about just events and seasons, it really is about 3 years, that we're going to, it cannot be based on Shor HaMuad. We're going to need to find a new marker, which we're now going to work on. Over the course of the bottom line to Chesed Zabatim is going to Chesed Zabatim. That's the question. That's why I've said over the last week or so, we're not. The part of the sugya that the Rif and the Rambam and the Rosh are going to quote is Chaptes Amral. Because that's what's going to come up with theory number two. Also, we're going to refine. We're also going to come up with the alternative to Shor HaMuad, the alternative to Hol Yehusha, that's based on Shor HaMuad, is instead a svar the Gemara is going to come up with the Chaptes Amral. That svar will be quoted with, and the Rambam, and the Rosh, because we don't pass it like a Rishmal, and therefore we don't pass it like the dinner of Rishmal, therefore we don't pass it like the Lundus of Rishmal. Instead of being accept the Lundus of Chaptes Amral, which generates, it's actually really a svar that will actually give you not three seasons or three events, but mamash 3 years. It is about the time, not based on Shor HaMuad. Yeah.
I don't get how we so quickly throw away the idea that we're really saying that, right? It's 3 days and it's about time. And why can't we say that 3 days equals 3 years? The Gemara has that assumption in the beginning. It says that what's it called?
Good. Shmuel is asking this question.
Initially, when the Gemara presented Hol Chayusha, and even in the first Kasha, we're really trying to sort of get our feet wet in Hol Chayusha, work at 3, 4. We did initially say explicitly that there's an equivalence between Negichos and years. And the Gemara had let that slide at first. We hadn't attacked that right away. Because first we had bigger fish to fry. First we said, what type of lumdus of Cheskabat could even be generated from Shor HaMuad at all? First was a fundamental conceptual question. That was Kasha number two. The answer was, okay, either Tosis or Rabbeinu Yonah. Either it's about Mechzakas or it's about making it is. And then we had two technical questions. The first technical question was Kasha number 3, Abba Shlomo Bafanav. And the next technical question was coming back to that point. It was, one second. How did Negicha become Shana? So what the Gemara ultimately answers is, well, according to Bishmal, it's not really about Shanim. So Taka, Negicha is events. And really it's all about events. Usually, three events ends up being 3 years. But in a Hanami, if three events have a Azahe Chetimtza, such a scenario like a multi-species orchard, where I get my three fully distinct events in much less than 3 years, isn't it? Or it's a hay field, It's just used, a meadow is used for grazing animals. Yeah, okay, so then nechrami. If you're making a chazak on a meadow, so you're a shepherd making a chazak. Well, sometimes it's hefker. But let's say it's a mamers like a hay field, a grass field. So then you argue. So if you think like Rabbi Shmuel, it's really not about years, then we're good. But that is you're right. That ultimately is kasha number four, is really going back to it was shver all along. But we first dealt with this kasha, and then with that kasha, and then with that kasha. You're right. Now we're finally coming back to, and presumably the reason why the Gemara left it for the last is because that's the best flow. Because that way you talk it end by saying the last kasha is the one that really does. It's the only one that has impact. All the other kashas are miyashev, but this kasha in the chanami, it does limit it to Rabbi Shmuel. So now we're going to move on to the Chok Rabbi Shmuel. Yeah.
Is there a way we could? Rabbi was saying that we're the Gemara goes to Rabbanon and the Rabbanon more learn it out that why it's 3 years. Could we somehow apply this to the whole discussion of whether the Gemara's question with the Bach or without the Bach is. Why time in general, right? Or why Dafka 3 years?
Interesting. No one wants to know. You hear the kasha. No one wants to know. How does this wrap back to the issue with the Bach's gear? So not the Bach's gear, so the Bach's gear, but the Bach's gear is back to Israel. Is it Minayim Ches Gavatim Gimel Shalim? Minayim Ches Gavatim Shehi Gimel Shalim. That's if there's significance to that girsa, different, which there doesn't have to be, but if there's significance to that girsa issue, if it's more than just a question of style and good diction and so on and so forth, but then it presumably has to do with whether we're not even sure why we should have a chesabat at all. We understand we have a chesabat, but we're not sure why it should be 3 years. The second version, or wondering where the 3 years come from, so that. It's maybe more dramatic because in the end, the doctor says, not really 3 years. Ends up often practically being 3 years. But fundamentally, there's no rule of 3 years according to Halkayusha. That's what Rabbi Shmuel says the Mishnah. If you say the other version, then it's broader. We're saying, well, where does the Chesed come from at all? It lasts 3 years. Where would such a din come from? The Chah. You end up saying, if you don't take the 3 years quite as seriously, so then it comes from Olcheusha, comes from Sharman. If you do take 3 years more seriously, we're going to look for a different version. Yeah, more cautious. Yeah, one more cautious.
Actually, I have two, but whatever.
Pick one. So, give me your best one for now. The other one will take down the best one.
So, according to Maskana, that the Olcheusha is repeated, or that this member of the center of the Kolkhayusha was Rabbi Shmuel.
Yeah.
So why does one even need 3 months? Didn't the Mishnah just say, cut this to us, and my second piece of the
Yeah, just, it takes, I think the point is that those are three separate harvests that don't overlap in time, I believe. In other words, there's earlier that I'm making up, earlier in the spring, there's a grape harvest. The one time I did a grape harvest taco was in the summer. But I think at least some of the grapes are already ready earlier. Maybe the taco is summer. Early summer is grapes, and then midsummer is the olives, and late summer is the tain. However long it takes. Just like we said, the Gemara worked out with the grass. However long it takes. To do three rounds of grazing in 30 days, that doesn't fit the metzias of grass. That's insufficient time to have full grass growth. That's the way a goslin would graze his animals, not the way an honest person would graze his animals. The whole point of Cheskel Batim is you're demonstrating that you are an honest owner of this field. You're not a goslin, you're not scared, you really belong here. But Nechanami, if you find some other species, it takes less time. Let it take less time. It's not really about the time, it's just about the cycles, and each cycle has whatever natural length of time it has. Ellie, got a question? No, Avidan.
What about Rabbi Akiva?
That's a good question. That's a good question. We're not really ready to fully deal with Rabbi Akiva, but what I was saying before is that the middle of the Mishnah, Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, so at that point, it's not clear that's quite the same as Rabbi Shmuel at the end of the Mishnah. Now, they're talking about 3 years, but they're trimming down the edges. Like I was saying before, three football seasons, three baseball seasons, is going to be almost 3 years because you have the off season, and nothing's really happening anyways. So does that mean that's based on, that you could understand that it's being mamzer like Rabbi Shmuel, it's really not about the time at all, just need the three achilos? Or you say, no, I do need 3 years. Now, would Rabbi Akiva, we know Rabbi Shmuel holds, but would Rabbi Akiva necessarily agree? Or maybe not. I'll say, no, I need 3 years, but the downtime is irrelevant. There is no achila going on. The only achila is during the season. So you're going to get in three, all the achila that can happen over, even if it's about 3 years, all the achila that can happen over the course of 3 years will be happening over the lemaisa over the course of 2.5 years. Because the off season, nothing's happening there anyways. You wouldn't expect anything to happen there anyways. So it's not self-evident. The Gemara later, the Gemara's only going to get up to Rabbi Akiva Shmuel, I believe, on like Daf Lamed, Hey, and Beis or so. Even later, after the sugya of Ahu Arba, then the Gemara picks up with Cheskas and Gimel Shalom Yom Yom. See that? Wow. And then we get to Rabbi Akiva Shmuel even later. So the Gemara is eventually going to work on what exactly Pshat Rabbi Akiva. We have some sense of Pshat Rabbi Shmuel. The very, very end, like Lamed Zayin or so, the Gemara is talking about Lamed Vav, Lamed Zayin, working out what's Pshat in Rabbi Akiva. Is Rabbi Akiva similar in Lamdus? So yes, it starts at the bottom of Vav Amud Aleph. And is Rabbi Akiva similar to Rabbi Shmuel in Lamdus? That it's not really about the years at all or not? In the Chanan. But there definitely are Tanaim who disagree with Rabbi Shmuel, that's for sure. And those Tanaim, we need to figure out Lashita Sam, where does this whole din come from? And that's what we'll pick up with next week. Either this completes the first sugya of the Perek, or the first segment of the sugya of the Perek, this completes whole Chehusha, which is with Baruch Hashem. Very, very rich. We've begun to scratch the surface of whole Chehusha. And it's opened up a lot of ideas we're going to deal with in coming weeks and months, Mitzvah, also.